Welcome to As for Football's College Football Show with your host and As for Football first captain, Rob Wright, an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army football team throughout their season as they seek to claim the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. As for Football is proud to present the College Football Show.
Welcome back to the As for Football College Football Show. It's your first captain, Robert Wright, here with you. Glad that you've joined us. I'm joined again by my co-host, Dan, our senior writer over at AFF, who was on last week's episode. Also joined today by Sam Crump, our executive officer, the behind-the-scenes guy at As for Football. So, Sam, Dan, how are we doing today?
Good. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing excellent. Sam, we're excited to have you on for your first time.
Fantastic. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it with a Lafayette recap from last week's game. If you tuned in, you know it was a 18-point victory for the Black Knights at Mikey. Home streak extended to 13 games. We ended up closing out the game and not punching it in the end zone at the end. But we got the win in what some would call a letdown victory. Does anyone else feel like that, Dan? What are your thoughts on the game and how it went?
Well, my first thought is, you know, Darnell Wolfolk broke off a 13-yard run with either his first or second carry. The fullbacks ran hard all day. They established, you know, excellent running in the middle of the field. I don't think they punted. So, you know, sure, we would have liked to score 60 points, but it's hard to be upset with that.
It is hard to be upset with that. We did run very well. We did not punt. We had six possessions. The five of them we scored, with the first being a field goal, and the six we did not score on. We got caught second and goal from the four, and time expired when Slumka didn't get it on the first punch. Sam, what were your takeaways?
A big takeaway is the W is a W, and this keeps the idea of the 10-win season alive, and I think that's crucial when it comes to managing Army football. And then, you know, Darnell Wolfolk's performance was really good, particularly, I think, better than his other poor weather performances this season, because this is the first time I think we've seen snow besides maybe Eastern Michigan, because it got real rough at that game.
Right. I mean, snow is a simple reminder for all you cadets out there that life is, in fact, miserable at the academy. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, Dan, that you were in the stands, t-shirt, flip-flops maybe, great weather, I think, for Miami, Ohio, nice fall day.
That was a beautiful day. And yeah, my daughter and I, we went up there, we were both wearing canvas shoes, took the light jackets. Well, I wore the parka, but I took my my baseball cap, and we froze our asses off. It was very cold. I mean, it was cold.
So you'll be dressing warmer for the coming game.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the hand warmers broke out. We're going to wear, you know, leather shoes. We're dressed for it this time.
So we talked about it on the Eastern Michigan recap. The gray period is officially in effect. Snow is going to be a permanent fixture at the academy. Sam, you talked about Darnell Wolfolk. Tell us a little bit about his production and the fullback stable, maybe.
So with Darnell Wolfolk right now, he's sitting at 171 carries so far this season for 734 yards. The next closest person to him that isn't a quarterback is Connor Slomka. He's only sitting at 65 carries for 286 yards. But if you look at, you know, the fullback stable, they're within probably 100 yards of each other from like the lowest, you know, lowest guy up to Connor. So I think if, God forbid, something was to happen to Darnell, I think that they could you know, recover and you know, push forward. But that being said, is that something that particularly the offensive coaching is going to have to be aware of and make sure that they are noticing this, that they're on their car, the tread is wearing down on one tire, and that tire is Darnell.
Right, yeah, we need to definitely be aware of that. And then talking a little bit about the game, Dan, you mentioned it would have been nice to hang 60. We talked about it before the game. In fact, the last time we played Lafayette, it was 62-7. I believe you were at that game. We had some ball control issues, some sloppy play, a few fumbles. The last time that we fumbled the ball was at Duke in the opener and lost it. So that's unbelievable for our team to have that kind of ball control. The thing that I took away from this game the most of all, and a lot of people were unhappy with the performance. I mean, it was totally lopsided on the box score, 408 yards to 159. They did 2 3 and outs to start the game. They capitalized on our mistakes. But the big thing is, 2 years ago, we lost to Fordham. The year after that, or 3 years ago, and then 2 years ago, we lost to Yale. We had bad letdown performances against FCS opponents, and we got beat by it. This team is good enough now with recruiting, with player development, with scheme, that we can have a letdown and still absolutely dominate an opponent. And that's one of the bigger things I took away. Before we move on to Colgate, Dano, what's your favorite play, takeaway, wrinkle that Army ran against Lafayette?
My favorite play against Lafayette was the Kalen Holt pitch play for a touchdown. Army's got second goal from the Lafayette 8-yard line. They line up in a bunch set with two wide receivers, fake the quarterback keeper off tackle. The DN crashes down. He's the option player. Hopkins pitches back to Kalen Holt. By that time, he's got a fullback and a slot back out in front of him, and he walks untouched into the end zone. Worth noting that Kelvin Hopkins, he got touched. He got hammered, but Holt went straight into the end zone. Blake looked pretty good.
Yeah, that was an awesome
play.
That was
by a lot my favorite play this week.
Awesome. Now moving on to Colgate, preview that game. The Colgate Red Raiders come in to Mikey Stadium 9-0. This is going to be the 30th all-time meeting between the Black Knights and the Red Raiders. The series is led by the Cadets, 22-5 with two ties. Last win for Colgate came in 1987 at Mikey Stadium. Oof. In 1982, just before then, that's when they dropped to FCS. They used to play in the championship level. And in 2003, in the FCS playoffs, this team went 15-0. And made it to the final where they lost to Delaware, actually 40-0. But last week, they clinched the Patriot League Championship, 6-0 in league play with a win over Lehigh. Sam, coming to you, what's your kind of biggest anticipation for this Red Raider team that looks very, very good?
So I think this Red Raider team, it looks good, maybe a little overinflated. We share a common enemy or a common opponent, the fact that Army has played Lafayette, Colgate's played Lafayette, Colgate beat them 45-0. That being said, that game was pretty much stacked in Colgate's favor. But this upcoming game, what I'm looking forward to is CBS Sports' favorite cadet, yes, Kenneth Brinson. They're going to throw his schedule up there, and then he is going to – I think he's going to light up because he's matched up really well with their read option. I think that expect a big game
from Kenneth, and you will absolutely expect that he's going to be up there with his schedule. We mention it almost every week. Dan, what's your biggest kind of takeaway or anticipation for Colgate?
My biggest takeaway is Colgate right now has given up 1.9 yards per rush. In fact, not even that. It's 1.87. So virtually nothing on the ground. But Army just played Air Force. Air Force, as we know, has a very good rushing defense because they've got, as we know, some pretty heavy linemen. Very good there at the point of attack. But Army still managed to run for 242 yards and 4.1 yards per carry. So honestly, as good as Colgate is, and I am not taking anything away from them, but I cannot believe that Army would run like that against one of the better rushing defenses in the country and somehow not move the ball at all against the Red Raiders. If that happens, then Colgate will deserve to win, bottom line.
Right. And their coach, Stan Hunt, said that their mantra is to run the ball and stop the run. I think, like you said, they're going to have a hard time stopping our run based on what we've been able to do. It is important to note that the Red Raiders have outscored opponents 287-29.
Yeah, that is ungodly. Yeah.
29 points they've given up, 5 shutouts. This season, it's almost about to break a record. And like you said, a crazy 1.9 yards per carry on the ground. You mentioned it in your preview, Dan, they are generating some turnovers.
Yeah, they have plus 12 in the turnover column. They've got something like 20 interceptions and 12 fumble recoveries. They get after it. They've got playmakers at every level. They've got elite linebackers, and they've got one defensive back. I think he's got six takeaways all by himself. So, yeah, they got some players on defense.
They can definitely generate some takeaways. Now, to ease our viewers' mind, I'm going to tell you a little stat that I found myself. Their opponents' wins, they've won 27 games. All of their opponents combined have won 27 games and lost 61. The Patriot League sucks at football. Let me just tell you that, okay? Yes, not taking it away. 9-0 is hard to do. Shutouts are hard to do. But do you remember how we played against San Jose State? Correct. They've been playing against San Jose State's for the entire season. Now, I will tell you this, more than any other FCS team that has come into Mikey Stadium in the last four seasons, this is their Super Bowl. Yeah. Let me tell you why. Three reasons. This is for an undefeated regular season, something few teams have ever done, especially even in their history. They will ensure that they get a first-round bye in the FCS playoff because the top eight teams ranked, and they're currently at six. And they will generate some serious national buzz because Army, as we know and are about to discuss, is about to enter the top 25. So Colgate's coming. They're coming to win. They're going to probably play their best game of the season. But Army fans, don't doubt your team. Everybody's been looking and saying, oh, they haven't allowed a single point all season. They're 9-0. Well, guess what? You didn't do the research. We're going to beat them, period. Put your money on Army. We might not cover the spread, but we're going to beat them. And my big thing is we're going to beat them a lot worse than we did Lafayette. And here's why. We had our letdown game, but Munkin has been on these guys all week. They're going to come out and play like the Army team we're used to seeing.
Well, they're going to need to. I hope they do, because I'll be in the stand screaming, but they're going to need to. They're going to need to bring it.
I believe that they will.
All right, Dan, we're starting a new section this week based off what you've been able to do for us here at As for Football. It's called Option Play of the Week. It comes from Across College Football. It's your favorite wrinkle. It's something we'd like to see the Army team conduct. Dan, what was your favorite option play of the week?
My favorite option play was a quarterback keeper by Georgia Tech quarterback Daquan Marshall. We're showing you this play because Marshall, the play design gets Marshall about 5 yards. He just keeps, as you can see, he's got a pitch man out there. The DN cheats on the pitch. He cuts it inside, and the play should go for about 5 yards. But he is such a badass that he runs it straight into the end zone, weaving through traffic. And I was like, wow, look at that. And so I'm showing it to you this week because Army and Colgate, too, for that matter, first off, they're both option offenses. And second off, neither one has Daquan Marshall on there. So both of those teams have to succeed by getting those first 5 yards, not by getting the last 25 into the end zone. They have to succeed on discipline. So that's my option offense play of the week is Daquan Marshall's run for a touchdown.
Awesome. And moving on now to our next section is the top 25 talk. If you follow As for Football, I wrote an article that Army will get into the top 25 this week. Unfortunately, I was wrong, and I admit it. I own it. I didn't delete the article. It's still there. But I will tell you that the analysis was very, very close. I predicted that we would break into the AP poll in the top 25 and probably the last spot. I didn't think that we would get into the coaches poll because UAB had so many votes the previous week. And CFP is just pretty unpredictable with the committee. They're really using the eyeball test. Unfortunately, Mississippi State hung on in the 25th spot in the AP poll, edging us out by 5 votes. We're 5 votes away from being in last week, which I have been saying for several weeks of the season now, we would definitely get in before Navy. And I thought, wow, look, there's so much shakeup in the top 25 that I figured it was actually going to be a week earlier than I thought. Well, it's going to be this week, pending that we beat Colgate. Hopefully our preview is true. Now, what I want to ask my co-host here, have either one of you, and we'll start with you, Dan, thought about the possibility of a New Year's Six Bowl?
No, that is crazy. No, that is crazy.
If West Point was in Georgia, there'd be a runoff election. I would love a New Year's Six Bowl.
For the viewers out there, here is a special treat that only As for Football is talking about. There is a real possibility that Army West Point, Black Knight Cadets on the Hudson, make a New Year's Six Bowl. And let me tell you why. The highest conference champion from the Group of Five, or Army Navy, or I guess some of the other scrub teams that are independent, BYU, would go and represent the Group of Five in a New Year's Six Bowl. Now, there are several teams from the Group of Five that are ranked above us. The fortunate thing for us is they all have to play each other. So things are going to shake out, and there's two conferences that we need to worry about, okay? The first conference is the American Athletic Conference, Cincinnati and UCF. College Game Day is going to cover that game this weekend, Cincinnati and UCF. We need Cincinnati to win. That's the first step. If that doesn't happen, it's pretty much over for us. So Cincinnati needs to beat UCF and either knock them out of the rankings completely or pretty low in the 20 to 25 spot. And then Cincinnati will actually own the three-way tiebreak between Temple, Cincinnati, and UCF to represent the AAC West in the championship game. We then need them to lose to either SMU or Houston or potentially Tulane that comes out of the East. So those are two losses that we need to have happen.
Wow.
Because Cincinnati is going to jump up if they knock off UCF, and then we need them to lose in their championship game, which is what happened to Navy the year that they almost went to the New Year's Six Bowl. The next conference we need to worry about, our other fierce opponent, Air Force's conference of Mountain West. We have a couple teams to worry about there, Utah State and Boise State. The good thing is, not this week, but next week, they play each other in the regular season finale. The winner of that game will represent that division in the Mountain Division in the championship game. It's likely that out of the Western Division that you're going to have Fresno State. It doesn't really matter if Boise or Utah wins the regular season game. We just need either one of them to lose in the championship to Fresno by a very, very small margin, so Fresno doesn't jump too high. What would be preferable is if Boise State beats Utah State because they're lower in the polls, and then they go ahead and lose to Fresno. If those things happened, Army will, without a doubt, be the number one seeded Group of Five team after Army-Navy, and they will be in a New Year's Six Bowl. What are your thoughts?
I still think that is crazy, but I think that the voters would love to knock UCF down a peg or preferably two.
Sam?
A peg or preferably two.
I grew up near a power plant, and I've seen my fair share of really creepy animals. I've never seen a bearcat, but you will see me creepy animals.
That is absolutely the first step, and then we've got to cheer for them to lose in the championship game. It could be crazy. But there is a special rule that the CFP committee put in place that they will suspend bowl allotments if Army or Navy impacts their rankings, because the final CFP rankings actually come out the week of Army-Navy.
Yep.
But because Navy almost impacted it, they actually made that rule. So, man, let's get out the Cadet Bible and start praying and hope that some crazy things happen around the college football landscape.
All right, so now on to the cadet in the red sash interview.
Who can I step up to my line, not on my line, not over my line, not behind my line, step up to my line?
Today we have a special guest that many of you true Army fans will recognize. We've got Austin LaChance here, the Spirit Video guru for Army, Navy for the last couple of years. If you're not tracking, a viewer pointed this out to me, Cadet in the Red Sash, we're interviewing interesting fans, interesting people from the academy, around the academy, that have things to do with football and just the academy in general to provide value for the fans. So that's what this is. But we're joined today by Austin. Austin, glad to have you on the show.
Glad to be here. Glad to support the Astro football program. Really love what you guys are doing, you know, covering Army football in a new, exciting way.
Yeah, we've consulted with Austin, got some pointers for him. His protege, Jake, does all of our videos, so shout out to him. Yeah, we'll start off with the first question. What is your favorite mess hall food item?
All right, so normally I would say Crispitos, but Tom kind of took that from me last week. But I am glad that that is being represented, because just like Tom kind of chatted about for a little bit, unfortunately, some of the younger generations are missing out on Crispitos. To my knowledge, the only place you can get Crispitos right now is at the Theragate Deli, home of the Drunk Old Grad Burger. So, you know, supporting the core, absolutely go support them as well. But because Crispitos have, you know, been kind of taken off the menu by Tom, what I'll say is a tie between the Spirit Dinner Stromboli and Spicy Chicken Patties. I would say it's those two right there.
Okay, so if you have to pick one, which right. way are you leaning?
Have to pick one. It's got to be the Stromboli, just because it's an awesome meal. You know, it's one of my absolute favorites, and it almost always comes around during Spirit Dinner. So it's just, you know, the whole experience of it. Absolutely love it.
Did you happen to read the superlatives? Because we gave a restriction, Stromboli restriction, to two of our players that had a little fumbling problem, because you know how greasy it is. We want their hands to be dry for the upcoming game.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, the decision was inspired by seeing the superlative named after Stromboli. But that doesn't change, you know, the fact that I do believe Stromboli is, although it's kind of greasy, you know, definitely just one of my favorites. May not be a popular choice, but I'll stand by it. Absolutely love the Stromboli.
It's always going to be there, so you got that going for you. Mm-hmm. All right, so the next question is a rotating question. Austin, the Spirit video guru, what would you do if you could observe any moment from West Point history all the way back, you know, to the 1800s, what moment would you put yourself into? Any moment in history, where would you place yourself in the core?
Okay, so I would say, you know, even in all the decades that West Point has been around, the one moment in West Point's history that I would absolutely love to have been there for was General Schwarzkopf's 91 speech to the core. You know, I was able to feature it a little bit in the Army football entrance video last season. I came across it on YouTube, you know, plebe year, just stumbling around during ESP, should have been studying, but I was stumbling around on YouTube, came across the speech. It's in three parts on YouTube, and was just absolutely captivated by it. It was this incredible, you know, graduate, just months after the completion of Desert Storm, you know, early in the peak of his career, in an incredible time for the nation, giving this incredible speech to the Corps of Cadets. And even, you know, watching that, you know, many years on, just the points he was making and how universal it was, you know, it was just an absolute moment in time in general, but especially for West Point. I think it's a very underappreciated, you know, kind of underrecognized speech. You know, we have all these famous speeches, you know, in the history of the Academy, you know, MacArthur's, quotables, you know, many quotes from Eisenhower. But honestly, this one speech to the Corps from General Schwarzkopf is so incredible, and I want as many people to be able to see it as I can.
Well, we'll have to encourage everyone to go watch that now. Definitely a surprising choice, but nonetheless awesome. Mm-hmm. The next thing we want to talk about is how you got started, just briefly, with your first video, which turned out to be War Tubas, and how kind of you took tell the viewers kind of how you got into the ended up shooting videos, and now you're huge into cinematography in general.
Yeah, so really kind of the story of how it all started is kind of the darndest thing. My plebe in yuck year, I was a tuba player in the Spirit Band, the War Tubas, we kind of called ourselves. And, you know, we were kind of a rally bunch, you know, tried to, you know, really have fun with what we did, try to fire up the core in any way we could. especially my yearling leader, we just had a bunch of different little spirit missions, different ideas about how to get things going. One of the things that we did is we learned one of the dances that the rabble rousers do. It's known as Rudy's. It's one of their most kind of complex, you know, intricate dances. You know, they take a lot of pride in it. And we're always going around to the tailgates of Spirit Band and the Rabble Rousers. So the two of us said, oh, you know, we want to learn this dance. And we spent months practicing, learning it. And after all the, you know, practice that went into it, we ended up getting in a bit of a fuss and we weren't allowed to do the dance. So still, you know, with all that spirited energy, we had to find a way, you know, we had to find a new outlet to put all that energy to. And my good friend, you know, Connor McCarty, fellow war tuba at the time, war tuba veteran, he basically shot out the idea. He said, hey, we should do a spirit video for Army Navy. And, you know, it was already November at that point, but we said, oh, hey, yeah, that'd be a great idea. Started spitballing ideas and got a class of 2016, Cameron Novak. He had a camera and editing software because we didn't even have that. We just had the idea. And dropped the video. It didn't bomb. So, you know, lo and behold, you know, things were off and running after that. So if the Rabble Rousers let the tubas dance, you know, none of this would have happened. So,
well, I'm glad that they, and a lot of people are glad that they didn't let you dance. I didn't know that backstory. So that's pretty interesting. And yeah, it reminds me of some kind of turnover chain or something that we did, and then they didn't let them use it. But I don't know. I just jogging my memory. So fast forward to over the next couple of years, your first year when you dropped Sing Second and you won what I'm told is the Oscar of the Army, is essentially the Army PAO's best in short film production. Mm-hmm. You ended up winning that, smoke in that category, tons of interest from big Army in general and what you were able to do. And so you just got into making videos, you know, now you do photos too. So you really kind of took that energy, that non-dance energy, and now you've become a very, very well known around the core, you know, a guy that makes pretty awesome media.
Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, just kind of the arc from that very first War II of Spirit video and really, you know, the kind of final projects I was able to do just for a few months there, you know, before Bullock, you know, you had Lead from the Front and Sing Second, just kind of, you know, all the different videos in between there, having it culminate with Sing Second was, you know, a really special project to me. It was actually kind of the result of, you know, a major project I tried to do in 2016. Tom Lay would actually know about it. You can chat about that with him sometime. But, you know, even though that 2016 video didn't come together, really a lot of that creative energy and kind of the messaging and the intent behind that, you know, just trying to have something that said something special about, you know, the Army Navy rivalry, and Army Navy kind of at large in general, you know, that led to Sing Second. And, you know, the fact that it was able to be recognized, you know, at the Army level, you know, was of course just incredible and very humbling in general, but, you know, really, really special because it was just this recognition that the Army story, you know, the West Point story, the Army football story is kind of worthy of that attention, that recognition. So that, I would say that was one of the things I was especially proud about, Sing Second winning that award.
Yeah, it was an awesome video. Got everyone hyped. And kind of looking ahead, you know, with you being in flight school and getting on with your Army career, not able to kind of do another video, which a lot of people were disappointed about. Mm-hmm. But you're kind of working on maybe a remake, a special project with Sing Second, and we don't know where it's going to be released, like if West Point will take hold and release it, or if you're just going to release it on through your media outlet. But could you give the viewers and listeners, you know, an insight into kind of what you're trying to do with the remake?
Yeah. So kind of just like you were saying, you know, it's still a little bit up in the air as to the nature of what all is going to happen. But really, you know, in short, I'm just trying to do something special for the anniversary of Sing Second. What it really comes down to is two major things. One, I was able to do a massive write-up about the process of creating Sing Second, the soundtrack and kind of the video to accompany it. I'm in the process of getting feedback from a lot of the musicians and artists who actually contributed to the soundtrack, since really that is kind of the heart and soul of that piece is the music of it. So that as it stands right now, that's already an 18-page write-up. So really everything you could possibly know about the creation of Sing Second.
Soch paper.
Exactly, yeah. And to join that, even though I speak about in the paper kind of the creative reasons for why Sing Second was done in black and white, as a special treat, we're going to be releasing a colorized version of Sing Second. And honestly, you know, going back through it and kind of reflecting on it and, you know, doing this re-edit of Sing Second, although I, you know, don't regret the creative decision to make it in black and white, I can honestly say it is vastly better in color. So no matter how it does come out, when it finally does come out, I encourage you to watch it on the best screen you can. You know, put YouTube on your home TV if you want, but really, it's absolutely going to be worth it.
Awesome. We'll be on the lookout for that. As for football, we'll make sure to promote that with whatever media source it comes out in. Austin, thanks for coming on the show and giving us a little insight into how you got started and kind of what's up next for you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, can't wait to see Army beat Colgate this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And for the final segment here on the As for Football College Football Show, it's the best thing that I've seen all week. This week, it was when I was watching the game and Andy Davidson blocked a punt with his face. It was absolutely awesome. Let's roll the clip and see how it happened.
Two punts for Bissell, averaging 42.5 a punt. And this one, it hits someone. Army's going to pick this up and take it back in, and it's a touchdown. Army comes up with a special teams play, and Mike Reynolds, who bobbled
just
one earlier in the
an
game,
unbelievable play. It's
comes
the second
up with a huge
that
play.
Andy Davidson has blocked
Bissell just kicks
in
this
his
ball
career.
Right into Davidson.
And
the
not only
play.
Was that the best thing, because right I was dying laughing, and it was an awesome play, Andy. It was just unbelievable, but it was funny that it hit you in the head. The best thing is that I was probably the first person in the nation to put up the video. And my measly Twitter account, personal, because most of the tweeting I do is through As for Football, you know, I have like 200 followers. I'm up now, don't worry. But I put out the video. This video had 40,000 views at this point now. It's a 5-second video just of Andy getting hit in the face. Andy retweets it. So thanks for that retweet. He says, "I ate that thing like a champ." And then the better thing is that the punter, who happened to play at his rival school in high school, commented, "High school rivalries run deep, man." It's just awesome to see Army players have a little bit of humility and just down to earth to interact with us. And then that they can laugh about it after the game. It was an unbelievable play, and it was unbelievable sportsmanship and just class by the players. And it really got me cracked up watching and looking on Twitter after the game. That's the best thing I've seen all week. This has been the As for Football College Football Show here with your host and first captain, Robert Wright. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to this on your podcast, on whatever media you're listening to on it. Rate us 5 stars. And please share our articles. Think about this. All of you that have had Facebook for a long time, if you share one of our articles to your 2,000-ish friends, a lot of people are going to see it that don't know about As for Football. So show us some love. Please help us out. And thanks for listening. Signing out for now. Go Army, beat Colgate.